This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Oh, not entirely true. Broadcasting live from the NFL Scouting Combine in lovely Indianapolis, Indiana. Merely Bo, the great C. Look at us. We're back.
We're back, baby. We're back and we're loving it.
What a lunch.
Great lunch.
What a deal.
Yeah, great deal.
Down there.
Got to pick three.
You hear about this? Down at the
at Harry and Izzy's.
Thanks
Harry
for bringing it back.
That wasn't it
time.
To go, wasn't it to
it
go?
It was a bar. It was a bar setup.
We sat, bellied up. That's right.
Got in there and little filet steak sandwiches.
Little sliders.
Elite fries. The filet sandwich was spectacular.
It was great.
I didn't think there was a chance you'd get a fry on top of all the rest of it because it came with a salad and a shrimp cocktail.
And the cocktail was they cranked it up. They're like, okay, you're here for the combine. We're going to put on a show for you.
The loyal listeners know that I had a near-death experience.
Yeah, legitimately so.
Legitimately thought it was all going to go down. And so I took one bite and I teared up and I'm like, I'm going to consume it all. I love it. But we're going to scrape a lot of that white off.
Yeah.
That's going to come off a little bit. So that's the way that goes.
I was all in.
Yeah.
All in. Delicious. Delightful.
It's
a real treat.
And Andrew Berry, he's on his way.
Oh, he's coming right
there
now.
There he is. Oh, it's a fantastic hoodie. It's a nice khaki hoodie AB is wearing as he walks over here. Yeah, that's great. There he is.
And then that's for AB.
We had a bunch of news we're going to have to talk to AB about.
Yeah.
As we bring him on in here.
Got to break it all down.
Sure. There he goes. Hey there. Good to see you, boss. Nice to see you. Welcome in. Joining us now live. Oh, Gibby. Gosh. Woo-hoo. That could have been a lot of wrong there had that gone south. Have a seat, buddy. Good to see you, AB. Yeah, hop in. We're here live on the program here. Boy, you're like a one-man news-breaking machine over there. We got Greenbrier. We got the Vikings. I mean, you got a lot going on here in the last 5 minutes, my friend.
It's a tool of distraction, all right, for the real thing we have.
We trade up to the number one overall pick.
So. You heard it.
Write that down. Write that down. I like that.
That's solid.
Go.
I like that.
There's
right
a haymaker.
You heard it.
People are going to run wild.
What you've been coming to this for? What do you like? What do you like most about this? I'm sure there's plenty you don't like, but what do you like most about the NFL kind of gathering in Indy every year?
Honestly, it's seeing the people. It's two things. It's seeing the people, and it's the beginning of kind of putting your strategic discussions into action. But it really is like the people, whether it's catching up with former colleagues, whether it's catching up with your competitors and, you know, trying to do some business, you know, seeing friends or, in my case, family at this point.
Yeah, right.
It really is that. It's great.
And for you coming back to Indy, probably, when you think about your overall journey, it's probably a little special.
Now, you guys are lucky that you're asking me on, what is it, Tuesday?
If you ask me on
Friday, I'll have probably a much, much different perspective.
It's early. You're very cheery right now. You're so fresh.
Exactly right.
So, obviously, the announcement, you mentioned it, you know, Greenbrier again. What did you like about it? What do you think the team gained from that experience?
Yeah, so we love the ability to get away and just kind of focus on football, focus on the team. And the staff there was obviously incredible in terms of the setup at the Greenbrier, which is something that we certainly appreciated. But the ability to just focus on us, put in a number of kind of new pieces together, and really just kind of like bond. We thought that was incredibly important. Yeah. We think that was something that created a really strong foundation for us going into the fall.
I don't know that there was a player availability because obviously there was a lot going on this season for us. I don't know that there was a player ability where they didn't AB reference that time at the Greenbrier and how it brought them together. It felt like every time one of them talked about it and be like, how are you guys getting through this? How the heck can win 11 games? How's this happening? Like, well, it all started back there.
Yeah, it really did. And the guys took to it. We got a ton of positive feedback. And you know, I remember, you know, when I was in Indianapolis, most of the years we would either go to Terre Haute, Indiana, or we would go to Anderson, Indiana. And even Anderson was like a 45-minute drive north from where I lived at the time. So it's not like we went away far. But that element of going away and just it being about that group, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, we saw that because it was a team that relied, I think, on their bonds to overcome a lot of adversity in what was a very – not the way – the script didn't go as maybe they had scripted, or maybe it did. Who knows what they say about the NFL. But I think that really helped kind of navigate all the different changes that had to happen this season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you know, the bond that our guys and really our staff as well formed during that time, I think it was certainly a reserve that they could draw from throughout the hard times.
So, and maybe this is just in my mind, but it feels like the distance from the combine to free agency seems to be getting shorter and shorter every year, even though it probably isn't, and then the draft is still at the end of April. How much have you seen an evolution in maybe the last, you know, 4 or 5 years since you've been doing this and maybe from the time that you started in different capacities, but in the focus and attention here with free agency being a big part of it, maybe bigger part than it used to be?
It's funny you mentioned that. For me, it's feel like it's gotten longer and longer, honestly, Nate, and maybe it's because I have like zero patience, but I don't know that I could come or share that sentiment. Honestly, it almost feels like we've gotten an extra week to me. So
okay, yeah, you're ready to roll. I like it.
I want to take you back. You went to the Greenbrier, and that's where last season started. I want to go back to last. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since the season ended, and it's funny as we've tried to compartmentalize the 2023 season. It almost feels like kind of three separate seasons in one. A lot of people ask me, like, certainly in the moment, what was it like that show after you found out about Deshaun's injury? And I said, I felt like I presided over a funeral, you know. And that was not the feeling in the building. Mm-hmm. The building was like, we got to go. We've got to go. And you guys were and when you're in the moment, there is no other choice because you got a game Sunday. Mm-hmm. No choice. But now that you get distance from the season and you look back on what was accomplished, the oddity of how the miraculousness kind of how it was all accomplished, how do you put it in perspective as a guy who was up at dawn every day trying to make sure it got done?
I'll start by saying I was incredibly proud of our players, our coaches and staff. We always talk about being resilient in handling adversity and how important that is because you don't know what it is, but you know it's going to come.
Yeah.
And that's going to be every year, whether you're, you know, whether you're 11-6 or 6-11, every building's going through that. The second thing I'll say, I think, to our building in particular, nothing compares to a global pandemic and an outbreak before your first playoff game in 20 years. So, like, we have a very high baseline for adversity where, you know, I am scared to say this, but, like, I think there's very little that will top some of the experiences that we've dealt with over the past four seasons.
Yeah.
How did you personally, because I'm curious, because you hit the nail on the head with the building post the Deshaun injury, and you and I certainly talked about it, and I knew very well where your mind was and how you got there. Just kind of from your standpoint, you get the news, you have to have a period where you're digesting that, and then you're like, okay, this is how we're dealing with this. What was that kind of like time frame for you?
You know, one of the things that's actually pretty cool from my perspective, let's say call it from personal growth with the general manager's position, is I tell people my job is crisis management with football sprinkled in between. Mm. So you kind of get used to like managing different crises, maybe a roster crisis, maybe an off-field thing, and maybe a staffing thing, you know, so on and so forth. So to some degree, you get like calloused towards those things. And it's like, okay, what's the next actionable thing that I can control and help the situation? So that's usually where my mind pivots. But then there also is an element that you're right. Like when I learned about the decision before we communicated it publicly, that's like a 24 to 48 hour period. And you realize that it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. So there also is an element where you have to kind of get yourself out of the tactical world and think about, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do from like an empathetic perspective for people who are going to be processing this for the first time? And oh, right. By the way, we're on a Wednesday and we got to go win a game.
And win a game you did.
Yeah,
no, which was very, one very of the most remarkable moments.
Yeah,
of the whole thing.
And absolutely.
Look, you got your job, and I know you guys look at it this way. Like if you don't win the last game, there's an element of failure to that, right? And only one team gets to do that. But in a season that you have to, I would assume you have to view what happened this year as an incredible success for this franchise, even if it fell short of. I mean, my God, you're down your top three tackles. Nick Chubb goes out early. Like it was so much. All the quarterbacks, all of the things. How do you put that? 2023, how much of a success was it for you and for the organization?
Yeah, I'm very proud of the season that we had as an organization. I don't necessarily ascribe to the notion that you know, if you don't win the Super Bowl, the season is a failure. I think that's strong. But there obviously are things that you can learn from, because you know, the reality of it is there's only one team that's like happy after they played their final game. You know, so maybe there's some disappointment, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think to unilaterally categorize, you know, something as a failure unless you win the Super Bowl, I don't personally think that's the right measuring stick for, you know, really any organization, because, you know, there were some really good things that we did in 2023, but there are also a ton of areas of improvement. And the big thing is like, we can't you know, carve our own path for a step back, because we just sow these seeds of complacency. Yeah. And so that's really our mindset going into the offseason.
All right, last one to kind of tie a bow on last year, and then we'll talk about the task at hand, building this roster for 2024. You're very detail-oriented, very thorough in your planning. You have a great collaborative group. In what plans did Kareem Hunt lead the team in rushing touchdowns and Joe Flacco lead the team in passing touchdowns?
That was not – neither of those situations were on the bingo card for last year, I can tell you that.
Is that one of the things that just keeps you at this league, you know, just expect the unexpected, right?
Yeah, you this is what I would say, like, the plan never always goes according to plan.
Sure.
And you have to be adaptable and flexible and opportunistic. And that's something that we pride ourselves on a lot as a front office. And that's not just during, you know, early March or early to mid-March. That's throughout the year. Yeah, at the end, like I said earlier, like we're problem solvers, like crisis, you know, crisis fixers. And, you know, if I can't do that, then I'm not doing my job.
As
you certainly did.
One of the things that, and you mentioned, like getting that, you're going to know ahead of everybody on Watson, and you guys know ahead of everybody, on everything, especially when it comes to like the cap situation and all of that. And I think sometimes people get in a panic, especially, you know, our fans get in a panic. Oh my gosh, the cap. And Z and I was like, man, they know.
They've been looking five years out.
So just for the people understand, how far out are you looking? Numbers wise, as you're building this thing for now, but for 5 years, 10 years, how far do you go out?
Yeah, it's usually probably a 3 year window, honestly, because, and really even a 3 year I use loosely, because your roster is so noisy. Like, I don't think people truly appreciate how much turnover there is in the league from year to year, and then just how your assumptions on players may change, especially as it relates to their costs in a given year. Not to mention how positional market shifts, obviously, like player costs around the league, which drives the cap. You know, that may mm-hmm. that may change. Your assumptions may change from year to year on that, but it's usually with a 3 year window.
Okay,
what'd you think of the cap number this year?
It's good, right? Higher is better.
It's a win.
Well, I think also when you are a team that is I'm sure you guys are modeling this out, and you're saying, okay, maybe we can get – we're able to – the dollars we're paying today actually aren't going to be the same dollars in 2 years as you get the inflation of the cap, and when you get a nice hit like that, it probably helps that.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair, Nate.
Yeah. All right. Some positions on the defense. Let's talk linebacker for a second and defensive tackle, where you've got a lot of guys that you – have now be our free agents. Do you expect any movement to secure some before we hit the March 14th or the mid-March period?
It's really too early to tell.
Okay.
You know, this is, you know, what are we in? February, late February right now, and the league year's March, call it March 15th.
Sure.
It's just too early to tell.
Okay.
Yeah. As you, you know, not a first-round pick again, and as you start, we're here at the combine. These guys are going to all start testing. Don't pick till 54. You've always been very nimble on draft day. When you have an obviously you guys have boards, you have all these things that you've worked on. how different is it when you don't have a one, or is it the same approach no matter what?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same approach because you never know what opportunities will present themselves. You never know, you know, what piece of information may fundamentally alter a player's value. Part of being opportunistic and ready to adapt is being prepared. And so I think I've mentioned before in the past that we go into the draft thinking of it as like an expansion roster.
Yep.
And, you know, evaluate all prospects accordingly. That'll really be our approach every year.
Yeah. You've done a great job without having a first-round pick, finding a guy like MJ Emerson, who I think is playing like a first-rounder, you know, just led your team in interceptions. It was number one in quarterback rating allowed. DeJuan Jones certainly looked, if you were redrafting, he's probably going in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
How have you guys been able to do that? And is that something that is, when you don't have a first-round pick, it's let's really hone in on some form at that level, even if there's some risk to it, because there's got to be, otherwise they wouldn't be there, right? Is that something that you guys are cognizant of, or it's just kind of worked out that way?
Yeah, I don't think there's a fundamental shift in strategy in terms of the approach for player selection. It's probably more in terms of how we manage our picks. So, like, one of the things that we've done over the past, you know, three ones is like we have had higher volume in terms of the number of selections, which won't fully make up for the loss of three first round picks, but it's one of the approaches that certainly helps. I think a big part of it is of whether it's DeJuan or Emerson. Sometimes it's just having access to the player, because you know I always feel like the NFL, it's like an acquisition game now. You can identify the players, but if you either don't have access or can't figure out a way to get access to them, it really doesn't it doesn't do you any good. So I do think that there's a little bit of like, you know, fortune involved with it, with that those guys were available, you know, at the time that we were taking them off the board.
AB, give some fans a bit of a health update. We got quarterback, running back, I mean, Deshaun, Nick, three tackles. Where are we health-wise with those guys in terms of their recoveries and their rehabilitations?
Yeah, I think, you know, all of them are progressing as appropriate. You know, obviously – they all have different timelines for their recovery, with you know, with Nick and Jack having the most the longest recovery timelines, but it's still early in the process for most of them. But we're pleased with the early return so far.
Yeah, and Deshaun specifically, obviously, that, you know, that's that thing kind of, for us, it came out of nowhere. Obviously, you got a little bit of a head start, but we had always heard like mini camp. Is that kind of where we are with him still?
So he's gonna throw next month. And he's been working his tail off. You know, he's on a good pace. I don't want to put the,
sure,
the, you know, the cart before the horse and everything, but he's in a really good spot.
Good.
I want to ask you about one guy who, you know, you go back through last season, you look at the end of the season, Alex Wright, sack in each of the last four games. And I remember coming out of Alabama Birmingham, you thought, you know, maybe there'd be a little bit of time for adjustment. It feels like the adjustment happened. How pleased were you with him, and how do you see him maybe springboarding in year three, and does that change kind of how you view that room?
Yeah, Alex has done a great job. He's a hard worker. He's really smart. I also think just the reality of him being in an attack scheme this year,
yeah,
really accentuates his strengths. I do think that there's more in there for him, especially as he continues to fill out his body. But, you know, looking forward to his progress. No different than I told Tony over there. You know, we'll always invest in linemen on the offensive defense side of the ball, so
no
you
doubt.
Can never have enough of those guys.
All right, one of the things you've done very good job. We're not getting at it. We'll take a handshake, but this last one, last one, we'll last one.
He's ready to go. At this point, he's
like, all right, now it feels like Friday. He's like, I came in here on Tuesday, and now it's like Friday already. One of the things you've done a great job with is trades. And one of the things we've talked about on the show many times.
All the time.
The absurdity, my word, of when the NFL trade deadline is, because teams at that point in the season can't possibly know if they're really in or if they're out. There's so much football to be played. I know that you maybe share a similar mindset. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we, along with four other teams, submitted a proposal to move the trade deadline back to after Week 10 games. The way we look at that, we agree, Nate, that there should be more flexibility for teams throughout the season, especially as they go into the postseason run, while also maintaining the structural integrity of the season. We have the earliest trade deadline of all the four
majors
by a lot. You know, ours occur at 45% of the season. Hoops and baseball, they're at 65%. Hockey's at just under 78% of their season. And if you look at where we've moved the trade deadline, it doesn't really have any competitive impacts. I think the earliest a team has been eliminated for the last 10 years has been after week 11, and that's only happened twice, in 2014 and 2016. And typically by week 10, over, like on average, 27 or more teams are within two games of a wild card spot. So we feel like it's an appropriate adjustment to the trade deadline, especially since we've expanded to 17 games. Who knows in the future if we expand to 18 games. And it can kind of provide the right balance of giving teams more flexibility while also maintaining the structural integrity of the season.
I think you're
Make
right.
It so.
By the
so.
Way, I think when you have a guy who's done a good job in trades proposing give me more time to make trades, they're probably
a little
nervous about that. A little nervous
it's
about
just
that.
Common sense. It's common sense.
Of course it is.
Great seeing you, man.
Yeah. All right, great seeing you guys.
AB joining us here. So much more to come.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And Bo here for my friends at Jim Beam. And what do sports and Jim Beam have in common? Both are better when enjoyed with others. So grab a bottle, gather your friends, enjoy the game. Because with Jim Beam, you come as fans and you leave as family. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Drink smart. So that was fun. Good talking to AB.
That's great. And,
great.
He's not going to give us anything. We tried. He's not going to give us anything on the plan, but got some nice, I think, moments of levity. I think it's cool that I'm a crisis manager with some football sprinkled in, and I'd say that he's pretty good at it.
I think the best thing that you can do in that scenario, I hope that what it does for the fans is to give them an idea of where his head is.
Yes.
And how he – so, you know, the reason I asked him the question about, like, the plan out, like, you and I know that they've got the answers to the test this year, next year. But for the – you know, it was – when I was out west, there was the there was all that stuff about, we're going to cut Nick Chubb and you got to cut this. We can't pay for anybody. It's like, no. It's going to be fine. And I think it's important for fans to understand that, like, they know where they're at. They know where they're at now, next year. And so it's a 3-year window that they're looking at when you think putting a roster together.
Yeah. And they're also, you know, thinking about the salary cap. They're thinking about succession planning.
Yeah.
They're prepared for, we are going to have to make tough decisions. We will not be able to afford everybody. So where can we find, you know, guys to take over when we have to vacate some of our good players? I mean, it just happens around the league. I was overhearing an elite radio show earlier that was emanating from a similar location. And he said, you know, with the Bengals, you can't pay everybody. So they had to make a decision. Jesse Bates, they couldn't keep him. He goes, Atlanta's a first-team All-Pro. But that's just – sometimes that's what you have to do. But you had drafted, in their case, they drafted Dax Hill. They drafted, a safety to try to take over there. So that's kind of, they are very thorough in their preparation, their analysis. Nothing happens willy-nilly or haphazardly. It is all done very much with the goal of not only building a competitive roster, but building one that is sustainable. I thought we got one of the most honest reactions to him from anything ever when I said, what'd you think about the cap going up? And he laughed like a kid
that
who
was
just
unbelievable.
Knew they
so
were
great.
They were
so
going to get a great Christmas present.
Yeah, like, yeah. Big win.
Yeah, big win.
Yeah.
I'm pleased.
We're very happy with that. Yeah. That works out very well. Some of the things that he broke in the previous, the availability with our local media. Elliot.
Oh, yeah. He was up there earlier today.
How about that,
man? For the Patriots. I know.
Haven't seen him since he walked out.
No, he's looking great, too.
He looks great. Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah, that's good to see. Elliot Wolf now, the director of scouting for the New England Patriots. We were the news of a return to Greenbrier, which has long been rumored and thought to be happening, and as we mentioned with AB, I mean, our players were so pleased with it and gave it so much credit. So that will happen. And then in addition to that, and the real news was this, the Vikings joint practices. We'll be hosting the Vikings for some joint practices.
Yeah, which is nice that it's going to be in Cleveland because, you know, last year you had the joint practice in Philly as well as the trip to the Greenbrier. And so I think it'll be nice you're able to get that bonding but then be able to do this kind of on your home turf, which I think will be very helpful for the Browns. It'll be interesting because – you know, in Philly, you were going against a team that at that point was the reigning NFC champion.
Yep.
Whereas the Vikings are, we can't even really offer up an idea of what that team is going to look like.
No clue.
When it comes here. I mean, you think about the best players on that team, Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Danielle Hunter. I would be stunned. I mean, I think we talked about this yesterday, if they somehow move off of Justin Jefferson, but it's possible that Kirk Cousins is somewhere else. It's quite possible that Danielle Hunter, they're not able to get a deal done with him. So you don't know what that team's going to look like. So that part of it's interesting. You obviously have familiarity with Kwesi and, and Kevin O'Connell and that whole operation. So, and I think that it's good, though. I think those joint practices are very valuable. Yeah, they bring something to training camp that a regular training camp practice just cannot have.
100%. And, the you know, to your point about – I mean, there's – we had – you have no idea what that Vikings team could look like. There was all sorts of talk. I mean, it's rumor, but sometimes there's smoke to rumor, you know, that they were trying to talk to the Patriots to move up into three, or the Patriots pick four, move up into four and work some side of sort of a deal where they could, you know, maybe go get one of those quarterbacks at the top. So, like, Kwesi's got a lot to sort out in Minnesota. But that'll be fun to have those things and then a return to the Greenbrier as well. Beyond that, it's just fun looking back, and these guys are all so process oriented. And I think at times it seems from the outside looking in, it borderlines like emotionless the way that they are publicly seen. So if you can get a little bit of that side of it, it's good to just get a little feel for like, there's a lot going on, and that was a crazy season from his perspective. You know,
yeah, and I think that you know what he said. Talking about the Deshaun situation in particular was good because it took me, I'll speak for me, and I don't know about you, but it took me at least, I would say 24 hours, that whole Wednesday and maybe into Thursday a little bit, maybe 24 to 36 hours just to like process and be like, okay, well, the league doesn't stop. The season's okay. How can I talk ourselves into we're going to be okay, which it turned out, by the way, that we were. Okay.
It wasn't until you beat Pittsburgh. It wasn't until I was at the Pittsburgh game.
Then you're like,
honestly.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it wasn't just the Deshaun injury. It was Nick Chubb, Conklin.
Of course.
Deshaun. Like if Nick were healthy and Deshaun goes down, you go, okay, still a path. We'll pound it, we'll run it. He's the best running back in the league. But he was already lost.
Yeah.
So there was such a feeling, and I think that's why I think that Steelers game was so cathartic for Browns fans, because it was like you beat the Steelers coming off of that week, and it allowed for hope to continue in the season.
Yeah.
And that's we had so many memorable moments last year, but that one is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable moment. And, yeah, for me it was beating Pittsburgh because it was like, okay, all right, there's a path here. I don't know what the ceiling is, and the ceiling changed when Joe got here and started playing the way he did. Then it was like, okay, now we can maybe win a round. Let's really go. But, like, with DTR beating Pittsburgh at home, it was like, all right, we're not falling off a cliff,
right?
And that was the elixir, I think.
Yeah, and I think that it was interesting that he noted that, you know, by the time that he delivered the news to the organization at large, he had already been through his period of if he had one. I mean, he'd really even say that he was just all right. I got
that's
focus
a cheat.
On.
That's a bit of a cheat though, too, because like we're getting it fresh.
Yeah,
and he had known for 2 days.
Right.
So you have a different.
So he said,
perspective.
So I do have to be empathetic to those who are just hearing this news for the first time. But a masterful job, and, you know, it's funny, as he said, Kareem Hunt nor Joe Flacco were on the bingo cards, and yet that ends up, I think they combined for 20-something touchdowns between the two of them. You know, Flacco, I think, threw 13, and Kareem had, you know, the 9 rushing. Mm-hmm. That's what's so wild about an NFL season, and what you'd hope for the Browns is, and what's amazing is Kevin Stefanski's been a 2-time Coach of the Year. He still hasn't had a normal season where you just have, like, your principal players stay healthy.
So his first year's 2020 COVID. Because we were here when we interviewed him and talked to him.
COVID.
First time ever. We had the quarter zips when we got back.
Yep.
COVID. 2021.
Baker gets hurt. Odell.
Chaos.
2022, you think the suspension for Watson's going to be 4 to 6. It ends up 11. And then last year, all of it, all the calamity. So, yeah. No, he hasn't.
We haven't had just kind of
twice.
Just kind of a baseline normal NFL season. Of course, there are going to be injuries, but not to maybe two of your four on your Mount Rushmore.
Most important players on the roster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, certainly so. The other kind of news was the trade deadline, the proposal with four other teams. That's just common sense to do.
It's common sense.
We talked about that this year so many times. Like, what are we doing? Why is the trade deadline now?
I think that they need to do a couple things in the NFL. The first thing is move the trade deadline back. I think week 12. You know, we'll take baby steps. They're aiming for week 10. Because if you're going to give up assets, you need to know that you're really in it.
Yeah.
And in terms of the tanking of it, there's not a lot of evidence to support that that's happened, because people, in the way the NFL has been, you don't get eliminated until very late. And if a team is out of it, okay, they're out of it. Like, there are trade-offs to be made. A team that wants to, just like in your everybody who's listening to Place Fantasy Football, there's trade-offs to be made. If, okay, I'm going to give up my, you know, if you're in a dynasty league, I'm going to give up my first-round pick next year so that I can get a guy to help me this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's risk in all of those scenarios. I just think it creates a better situation. The other thing I think they need to have in the NFL that they, at least to my knowledge, they don't, is kind of like the buyout system where you can get somebody bought. They can buy out and they can go sign with whoever they want.
Right. No, he even hinted at, you know, potentially going to an 18th game, which I think we all know we're headed for in 18 games. You have to have more
two preseason 18 games.
It's
If we're already not participating in one preseason game,
right? Why are we doing it?
Why are we doing it?
Yeah, yeah. 18's long.
As long as it stays the same amount of time, I think what they need they go to 18, it's got to be two bye weeks for each team. You still have plenty of teams playing all 18 weeks.
Now you're onto something.
Two bye weeks for each team. Give everybody kind of a reset, a breather, and try to do it so that you kind of rotate maybe a third of the league, a third of the league, a third of the league over like 3 weeks kind of around, you know, the third of the season and then the two-thirds of the season, and then you kind of try to like rotate it around there.
Yeah. We just go through so much catastrophic injury, and I know you can't take it out of it. It's just a lot. So I like your two bye weeks thing. I think that's probably pretty.
Like, if you had to play 3 6-game seasons, basically, now it would work out perfectly for everybody. But basically, that'd be somewhere in the range.
Then we could use tranches again.
Yeah, we could. Oh, yeah, the
big
first tranche. Yeah,
first tranche.
Break it into thirds.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I just think that you're able to plan better. You're able to body manage probably a little bit better. You're able to do a lot of things when you know that's kind of you get six and then you get a week off.
Yeah.
Plus, you get a Thursday in there, which gives you kind of like a mini, you know, that you'll get somewhere in the season as well. I think that's where they got to go. If they do go to 18-game season, they got to give them two bye weeks. Take away that one preseason game, because, again, who needs it? And I realize it's for the guys fighting to make the roster, but is he
– but for God's sakes, if you're at the Greenbrier for 10 days, you've already done practices with Philadelphia, so that means that your ones are getting the time in the practices. You still have two games to – you have mini camps. You've got – you. They know.
Well, it's just better. It's a better draw.
Like, it's much better, yeah.
If you're going to host a preseason game, you as a fan still want to go see the guys that are going to actually play, even if it's for a quarter.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, there's no doubt. All right, there is a lot of news happening over here in Indianapolis. We will catch you up on all of that, including the comments from the Bears in terms of their approach to Justin Fields, because that's kind of where – I kind of feel like that's where this thing's going to kick off is once you start to get some momentum on that, then there will be reactions to that action, as it were. We will get you caught up on all the news of the day coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Runs Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for the first time ever. I don't know if you've heard this or not. It's Friday, September 13th. It's Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale right now. You visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
Billy and Rod. It's Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for one night only. Look, it's all going to be quarterbacks. That's what this is going to be, NFL-wise, big picture. Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears, saying no decision has been made. But we want to do right by Justin if we do decide to go that way. A decision absolutely has been made. It'd be malfeasance at this point if you did not have a decision.
Anytime somebody says, "Oh, it's still a few weeks away, we haven't
stop it.
They've made
stop
up their minds.
They know. They know. I guess the question will be, let's start with the Fields component of this. I guess that's the question of the day, and not that you and I, we don't have scores on this. We no longer have our boy over there in the front office. So Simone. So not like he had information, but all that guy's gonna do is charge you for your own shrimp cocktail.
If it's chilled seafood,
it's free. All sorts of warm would be
anything that requires
a full
cooking,
charge of you.
Yeah, full charge of you on your free meal,
folks. The waiter chased Zagura and I out of the steakhouse onto the street.
I was on the street.
I was with you.
Yeah.
And said,
yeah, we were on the street.
You guys have to pay the bill, and it was a large bill.
We're
that
like,
was
what
remaining.
Are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
So then we called.
We thought he was putting us on.
We thought it was a joke.
Like, oh yeah, Simone put you up to this?
Yeah. And Simone's in the car with this guy.
He's in the car with Gibbe.
And they had to come back.
They had to come back. And then did he even try to fix it?
No.
Or was he just like?
He's like, everybody put in your cards.
Yeah.
And we'll split it four ways.
Okay. What just happened here? How did we win a bet? Two seafood towers is the bet?
No, that wasn't the bet.
It was dinner. That was not it. It was dinner.
It was a meal.
Soup.
Just like Griff's got to take – you and Griff have to take us all out for the beautiful love affair between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, which beat the February 14th deadline.
Did I go under?
You did.
Sad. I didn't believe in love.
Against love, yeah.
I was against love.
You know, it's like Cher said. Do you believe in life after love?
You have to.
You got to.
My God. So I guess the thing will be with Fields. When does that happen? How quickly does it happen?
To me, it feels like, and I realize that Russell Wilson is a big piece, but to me, it feels like the Fields piece is kind of the domino that's going to get everything going.
That's the first thing.
Right. Because then that says, okay, he's gone. Okay, we know Caleb's going number one. Now everything can just kind of fall into line after that.
And once those other teams that are interested, and there's a lot. I mean, I mentioned the Minnesota rumors that they could want to come up to four. There was a time where the Patriots, Elliot was just on the screen here, Elliot Wolf, director of scouting now in New England, that the Patriots at one point were like one of the betting favorites to land Fields, and that potentially that would be a landing spot there. They pick fourth in this draft, so there's that component of it.
Well, you look just kind of going through.
Or they picked second.
The Patriots?
Are they second or fourth?
It's so funny.
I know the Cardinals are third.
It is funny when we don't have.
We were talking about this off air.
A first-round pick. It's how it's just – it takes away your focus on everything that's happening early in the draft because it doesn't matter. 24 draft order. The Commanders are up there. The Patriots – the top three, I thought, are the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. We can get it. Here we go. Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals are four.
Cardinals are four.
Yes.
And okay. So
that's where you think they're going to get Marvin Harrison. It's going to be quarterback. Now, if the Patriots were to, say, trade for Justin Fields, they may take Marvin Harrison there. So if a team, if the Patriots really seem like the only one that would maybe trade for him, if that happens, because we haven't heard the Commanders link to him at all, then all of a sudden that changes things for Arizona.
Bigly. Because now all of a sudden, and they're – what so then what is the what is the give for Fields becomes the next important thing. Like that if New England likes him, if Jared Mayo likes him and they want to build something around him, we know that that's something that Belichick always wanted for whatever reason. He always wanted a mobile quarterback. Sometimes you just want what you can't have until you get it. He had the best of all time. Like,
say,
it worked out pretty well.
Tom
but there's always talk that he wanted that. And so if they go that way, then that flips. So then that – the price for Fields is going to be fascinating.
Yes.
Will a first rounder in the future ever will there be pick one first rounder swaps? Is it two twos? What is it, a two and a three? That a three becomes a two? What does that look like? The breakdown of that will be fascinating.
Yeah, because you kind of look around the league and you say, okay, who would even be in the market, right, for either say Fields or to trade up and try to get one of these quarterbacks? In the AFC, it's only the Patriots. In the AFC North, you'd have to think the Steelers could be a team that would be either interested in Fields or maybe making a move up for a quarterback, although we're hearing that they're fine with, you know, Rudolph and Pickett.
I don't believe that.
In the AFC South, the Colts know, Jags know, Texans know, Titans maybe.
I think they like Levis.
In the West, it's going to be the Raiders and Broncos.
Right.
So that's two
I mean, Broncos, they're moving off of Wilson. Right. I know Sean Payton said, well, we want to have a decision in a week. It's the worst-kept secret in the world. They're going to move off of him. They're going to eat it. So then the question becomes, where do they go, and what is the path?
Correct.
For them? Are they? Right. Do they draft one with their first-round pick, John Lynch, right here?
Oh, man. All right. How about it? Where's my guy Kyle?
He's back home, baby. He didn't come to this.
I know.
I was talking to Siciliano this morning. He said there's like upwards of 6-7 coaches who didn't come, and like the Rams didn't come at all.
So the one PR person.
Hello, Gibby, by the way.
By the way, hi, Gibby. Stop. And too, I love that he's whispering into a microphone right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well.
Well, because it is amplifying his voice.
Yes, correctly.
Keeping it away from listening ears.
He literally stops talking and comes over and looks at your hat.
Who did?
Oh.
Lynch?
No.
LACC.
I think he was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
I know that. And not many people own things like that.
That's right. Well, this is
all right,
the
it was
world
good to talk
in.
To you.
This
great
went to
you.
Our –
thanks.
You missed us yesterday.
Dynamite
as you were
driving.
Dropping. We had our we had this at the end of the show yesterday. I saw this on the Foreplay guys. Would you rather play Augusta National once or Pebble Beach once a year for the rest of your life? And he went Masters. I think that was the correct one.
Initially, but
and
then by the end.
I juiced it.
Now it's a group for four. I got
now
first
it's a foursome.
Tickets.
It's a foursome at Pebble. Yeah. It's
accommodations.
It's now accommodations. It's a four-person
I'm doing
golf
that.
Trip. The four-person
I literally
golf trip.
Said that out loud
every
to these
year.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah.
It's a pretty good thing, like you could count on.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be amazing.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, I could take my brother-in-law this year. This year I could take my college buddies.
Yeah.
Like I can mix it up. I can
it's
change
coming
it
every
up.
Year.
Yep. There's not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
You took a little shot at me at the end of the show yesterday.
We did.
No.
What?
You were like,
well,
No.
I find
it was,
that hard to believe.
No.
Seems odd that we would do that. Usually
it was
we take
the
shots
whole,
right in your face.
Well,
right. Or we're taking shots from you, just like
shrapnel.
Yeah, just flat like
there's
masters
also
of the air.
Bishop's like, I can't believe they're not there yet. And I'm like, and I'm literally yelling at the radio with these two guys in the car, Uno and Ocho. I'm yelling at the radio going, I'm in Indiana. Stupid two-lane highway. You know the rule.
It's true.
It is true. It's brutal.
I'm literally
it's
yelling.
Awful. It's awful. It's just the worst.
Did you push the boundaries of speed?
Yes and no. We were caravanning, so I couldn't do what I maybe normally do.
I was talking to Miss K.
But I got there in 4:45.
That's humming.
Yeah.
I was doing all
right. I was 4:30 with a 15.
With a stop.
With a stop, yeah.
Yeah, because you had a detour coming out, and then you had the you had to stop and get gas. You would have thought you would have filled up before you left. Odd that you'd hop in a car and not be like,
well,
not full tank. Strange. For private school, too.
Extenuating circumstances. Is what I'll say.
Oh, boy.
I thought we could have a curb episode because you mentioned you were caravanning. So I finally caught up to Bo just like outside.
Just sort of the supercharger in Dayton.
Yeah, right outside of Dayton. And I was talking to Miss K at the time, and I was like, well, now that I'm next to him, I'm like, do we have to ride together? Like, do I have to match his speed and we fly in formation, or do I keep going my speed? Obviously, he will tell you our caravan was very brief.
Very brief. No, you. So
some waves, some mists.
It's certainly been well documented that I have been pinched a lot. So I've been pinched with ways. I've been pinched every way you can be pinched.
And I
can't do it anymore. I've reached the level of being pinched where it's just not worth it. And I would just say that you have a very different experience as a driver.
So we passed each – we were side by side waving. It was really a joyous moment. And then I went on, and within 5 minutes, I got a text. Your fearlessness towards tickets is admirable.
It's unbelievable.
The first 35 minutes we were on the highway, we had four.
Well, there were a lot
and
of
And I was
them.
Like, if this is how it's going to be, you know, it's going to take us 7 hours to get there.
I use my ways, which is good and helpful in these situations, but – you know, I'll be honest, I've been pinched in Indiana. I went to SummerSlam here back when it was the Conseco Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
There was the main event, I want to say, was Undertaker Edge, Hell in a Cell. And I got pinched in Indiana on the way home. It's such a bummer.
That's such a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Can you imagine if it was Conseco Fieldhouse and it was just a picture of Jose Conseco with his shirt off, holding a bat?
I was more of an Aussie guy.
Ozzie Canseco. That's a choice.
It was a choice.
Certainly a choice.
Yeah, he didn't. He's kind of, I feel like Ozzie was kind of like.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess I wouldn't know one way or another.
He just was very, like, not the great at baseball and made it on
it's still
Jose's
it's
name.
Still,
then,
think about that, though. Like, you just said not great at baseball. He was a major leaguer.
Yeah.
But, like, so, like, for any kid out there, that is the dream of, you don't dare to dream that big, right? And so he accomplished that goal. The problem was his brother, for a time, was one of the most decorated players.
And he wore 55.
Yeah, versus 33.
His career statistics, 200 average, 13 hits, 4 RBI. He was drafted as a pitcher by the Yankees in the second round of the 83 draft.
So he's a dude.
In stark contrast to the prolific power-hitting career of his twin brother, Ozzie never hit a major league home run. He holds the Atlantic League single-season home run record with 48, which he achieved while playing for the Newark Bears in 2000. He was named the MVP.
In 2000?
Yeah.
That's 17 years?
Later, yeah. I don't understand.
In his mid to late 30s, he was playing Triple-A baseball in the Atlantic League?
That doesn't even...
That is wild.
Maybe this is an edit. Maybe it's erroneous. That's what it says.
And of course, it's on Wikipedia. It's a Canseco, so one of them's legal troubles, one of the headings.
For sure. Headlines. For sure. But I'd say it's kind of like he's kind of like, although Giannis has been more successful, obviously, than Jose Canseco was. Although Jose Canseco had a pretty.
He was an MVP.
Yeah.
He's 40-for-40.
40-40.
I mean.
So maybe it's similar.
Yeah, no, he was. Before it all went south, it was.
And he won a championship.
With
the A's.
Sure.
He had to be on the A's.
They did win the one.
Yeah, the Bay Bridge, 89. They did one. That's fine. We went to 3 in a row. No big deal.
They did win the one.
Yeah.
That's right. They did win the one. Yeah.
They did win one.
I know.
But I'm saying this is Ozzie's kind of like, what's his brother's name? Thanis?
Yeah. There's a couple of them because there's one the Lakers had for a while and the other one played for the Bucks. There were a couple of them that were in the mix. I would just like I wish that I knew like what was the standard of path in terms of travel that I could get away with. And I don't know what it is because I've been pulled over and ticketed for 5 over.
That's outrageous.
I was.
I don't think that's Mount a thing Gilead. Anymore. I don't think that's real anymore.
I don't know.
I think, Gibbe, do you agree? I think if you're 9 over, you're 100% safe.
Wow, that's wild.
There we go.
You believe that too? 9 over safe?
Absolutely.
100%.
That's crazy.
You're pretty good, I think, within 13.
I was cruise yesterday.
I typically cruise 13.
You cruised?
Nah.
That's wild.
I'm yesterday, 78, 79.
Wow. Oh, yeah, like that's a minimum. Lock it in at 9.
Yeah.
That's wild.
They're looking for 15, really, is what I'm told.
Well,
I have some people in the business. We got some people in the business.
I must have a punchable face because I get it.
I don't
got
think so.
5 over.
I don't think so at all.
I mean, absolutely punked.
It's a great put 'em.
Yeah. Look at him over there, Sean Payton. They're running this from earlier where he talked about, you know, that we want to be pretty quick on Russell.
Russell might want to stay, according to his podcast.
He's wearing
Sean Payton, not so.
A Paris Saint-Germain.
And you know that because of your
game.
Your FIFA.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you do that scene.
That's right wild.
Now. That is.
He's wearing a PSG hoodie.
Here? I wonder what the connection
Before
would be.
For the combine when he's.
Well, he's a Jordan guy, right? Is
he
a Jordan guy?
And is Jordan. Yeah, it's a Jordan
and they're
logo.
They're a Jordan team.
Yeah, but
so
I mean,
that's probably
you're
why.
Here.
Representing the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Yeah, so you could go the tact where you wear nothing of the logo, as Andrew Berry did.
Yeah.
But to me, if you're wearing a sports team's logo.
It ought to be.
Yours.
I would agree. I don't have a problem with that at all. So, Fields, Cousins, Wilson, that's where we're at.
It's a great job of bringing it up. It's like a Curb episode.
Yeah.
You brought it back together. I think that would be a good idea for Larry. I think he'd have fun with that idea of the notion if you're like – driving the same place with somebody, do you have to caravan with them? And he obviously would not, and somebody might get mad at him, and he'd get.
I don't know how you.
Could,
I would. I wasn't. I had. There wasn't a second of.
I just want you to know because I love you.
Is it okay to do this? No, I was. That's at least. Plus, I hadn't charged yet, so there. I knew that there was going to be a separation.
You were going to get right.
I also one last thing on my events of yesterday. I've done it. I witnessed it. I saw two people check into a hotel room who had, for the very first time in their life, in their mid-50s yesterday. They'd never,
wild.
I don't know. I didn't think it was. I was like seeing a dodo bird.
what brought
they didn't
them?
Know how to do it. They didn't know. They had no idea how it worked. Didn't understand incidentals. Didn't understand why an ID. Tried to pay with a check. All the while, the poor girl checking him in was just kind of – she's doing her best. But, yeah. I mean, it was lovely Amy, who I know checked you in before she checked me in.
And she, to be fair to them, I will say I felt like she didn't do a great job of explaining the incidentals. She's like, we're charging you $20 every day. And I was like, just for nothing?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's just if you spend money, that 20 counts against it. But then if you don't spend anything, you'll get it back. I'm like
– well, so then you're not. You're going to charge the card, but then you're kind of not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, so their struggle with it was pretty remarkable to witness. And especially as you guys were at NADA waiting, and I'm like going, let's streamline this.
I feel like it was you watching the people that I was watching on the plane who, like, just couldn't stand up and walk down an aisle.
Couldn't do it?
Yeah, they just were, like, taking forever. Just get your bag and walk out the aisle.
Get off. What's taking so long? Just get out.
Right.
Get off the thing.
These are things that shouldn't take a long time.
Siciliano coming up next, I believe.
We might have to push back a segment. We're a little delayed.
Okay.
We are. He is.
He is.
We're not delayed. We're
doing just fine. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join the program coming up at 2:30.
We could flip it. I could do Jeremiah next.
Well, here's the deal. You got a stack coming. Let's just produce a show live on the air. You got a stack
Absolutely.
Coming. So you're going to buy yourself some time. We can reset the big stories. Then we'll get back on track. How about that, Gibby?
That's
you with
fine.
Me? You with me?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
The Rolling Stones Hackney Diamonds Tour is Saturday, June 15th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrownsStadium.com/Rolling Stones for more information. Broadcasting live at the NFL Scouting Combine. Matt Eberflus was just up there talking. The thing we were talking, you and I were talking this morning about is from the outside looking in, this seems like it's this monstrous world of the NFL. Once you get here, we see the same people every year.
Of course.
And having been with the Browns as long as you have, you see people who you knew when they were, you know, this, and now they're this, including what happened last night.
Yeah, running into – it's only at the Combine. That's what makes Combine so special is you can just be out and you run into, you know, Mike McDaniel, who was – a receivers coach for us in 2014 under Kyle, and now is the head coach, as everybody knows, of the Dolphins. Anthony Weaver was the defensive line coach on that 2014 team under Mike Pettine. He is now the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins. Ran to Bobby Babich, who was, I think, the assistant DB coach in 2014 on that staff, with Jeff Hafley, who was, I think, and Aaron Glenn were the two defensive backs coaches. I think he was the assistant. Now he's the linebacker coach of the Bills. And it's just why, you know, just sitting there, and then Mike Silver happened to be there as well, and just, you know, BS and talking about various games, hypotheticals and theoreticals and players and getting their scouting report. And I will say this, Mike McDaniel has a great affection for Tyreek Hill and what he does,
I bet,
for a football team.
I bet he does.
A great affection. And he is exactly the same guy as he was when he was the wide receiver coach. And what you see on TV, that's what I told him. I was like, it's so cool to see that you just are you all the time.
Well, and you knew him before he was him.
Yeah.
As the public knows him now.
Sure,
as him.
Like, sure.
I mean, he's that – I think most Browns fans, if you're trying to place him back then, he's the guy when Kyle did the play where Johnny runs off. He's the guy
– standing there.
Who's standing there.
Yep.
He's in that video. So that's a wild thing to go from that to one of the most innovative, smartest coaches in the league.
And I remember interviewing him that year, and I think maybe only once that we actually did a formal interview. And I asked him a question about football and wide receivers, and he gave me like a 10-minute answer on the intricacies of prides of lions in Africa. And I was just like, what is going on? But he's a highly intelligent guy. And by the way, why are we watching Kirk Cousins throwing a football indoor tennis courts?
He's in Minneapolis.
Okay.
So this is his first video of him upright after the Achilles.
Okay.
And so they're going, wow, look what he can do.
Yeah, but there are indoor football facilities in Minnesota.
I wonder if it's just more of a sure surface.
Maybe. Yeah, it's not be on turf.
Yeah.
Like by the way, we're seeing something really impressive on TV right now, somebody being able to talk without having to go gather their thoughts.
It's amazing. Imagine the thought gathering that would have taken place to be able to even attempt to,
I mean, do this show. I feel like they had to start yesterday.
Right.
They would have had to have.
A lot of prep. A lot of gathering.
Yeah. That is the cool part of it is you do see that. Go ahead. What do you have?
Kevin O'Connell on Kirk Cousins today, quote, "I believe Kirk wants to be a Viking, and we're going to work to make that the outcome." I think you need to do it with Justin Jefferson. I think you need to get a quarterback.
You and I were talking about that yesterday. I don't know how you can't be in a situation where you're basically just trying to be a farm system for everybody in the league.
Correct.
Like, at some point, you have to actually build a roster with talent. And by the way, that's a great fan base. It's an awesome venue. It's the best venue in the NFL, I think. And it's a diehard awesome group. It's got great ownership. Like, they just put all that money into the practice facility. Like, you need to go. Like, you can't perpetually rebuild. And by the way, there isn't necessarily proof that going to the bottom gets you back to the top. It's really hard to go down, and it's really hard. You got to hit on all of it.
Yes.
To get back up.
It's one thing to get assets, but those are theoreticals. You need football players. They're not theoreticals. So they pick 11th in the draft. So if they were to stay there, if they bring Cousins back, they would be able to get – this is – talking with Daniel Jeremiah, and we're going to hear that a little bit later on, but very good tackle draft.
Probably.
So you have an opportunity to do that. They could go, we're going to just completely blow up the scoreboard and draft another one of those. They're going to be stud wide receivers.
So the neighbor's kid at LSU is a stud. Obviously, Marvin's a stud. Roma Dunzie is a stud. He's a kid out of Washington.
Yep.
That's three.
I mean, hold on.
You could have those three all in the top 10.
By the way, Kwesi, who did address the media as we went on the air, was asked about Jefferson. He goes, and about trading him, he's like, this is not something that's once even crossed my mind. You got a blue chip player, a blue person. You try to keep as many of those as you can.
Did he say a blue person? He called him a blue person?
A blue person.
A blue person.
that goes back to that NFL Network color chart.
That's a blue chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep one of those guys. Was he asked about if he knows how to park a BMW? Or not?
So he was over, and I'm like, how do I get him to stop over here?
I want to ask.
We have a question for you.
I have a question for you, sir. Very interesting. A query that I was curious about for these many years.
So yeah. Daniel Jeremiah, top 50 prospects, he did version 2.0 yesterday. Caleb Williams, 1. Marvin Harrison Jr., 2. Adunze, 3. Malik Nabers from LSU is 4.
Yeah, so three of his top four are receivers.
Yep. Then you got Drake May, 5. Jaden Daniels, 6. Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, 7. A corner from Alabama, Terrion Arnold. Joe Alt, tackle. Another tackle from Oregon State. But I was trying to find – tackle Penn State, tackle Alabama. Then you get to it. The first edge is Jared Verse from Florida State.
Yeah.
Another corner. Then there's the other kid from LSU, Brian Thomas Jr. So that's another receiver at 16.
Yeah.
It's a lot of tackles.
So they could go tackle at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they got two stud receivers. So like, you don't have to get crazy on it. So.
But it's interesting. His top 50, there's not a lot of defensive help in this draft.
Yeah.
This feels like a draft that if you want defense, you're going to have to go. Now, he'll give a name that everybody should pay attention to for us for a defensive tackle in the second round. And when he was describing the guy, I'm curious to hear your thought. It sounded like, yeah, that sounds like somebody that we would pick.
All right. So we will get to that coming up next. Yeah, Ladies conversation with Daniel Jeremiah.
Big T.
Wait.
I've got a few other news.
Go ahead.
Go, Gibbe.
That's okay.
Our, let's go Gibbe. To our update. Gibbe. Our Gibbe. Go, Gibbe. Go.
Andy Reid asked to give advice to a young person trying to break into the business. Work hard, be honest, .. and get a good quarterback.
There you go, Griff. Is a young person trying to get into the business?
So, Sean.
He's in the business.
Yeah.
He's Griff.
Sean Payton, remember I said earlier, I expect we're going to know fairly quickly about Russell Wilson move sometime in the neighborhood of the next week. His GM then talked a little bit later on here, like in the last 20 minutes. Says no team has called about a potential trade from Russell Wilson.
Jeez.
Maybe you want to be on the same page.
Yeah. How are they not on the same page?
I'm going to throw that out there.
How is that not communicating? The guy's a
stud.
He is a stud.
What a guy.
Dan Campbell says, again, I should have waited until fourth down to run the ball late in the Lions' championship loss to the 49ers.
Should have waited until remember that set, remember how they how he didn't give himself a chance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, we, you and I did that on that show.
Yeah, but he also had, what was, the, there was another
was
game
the
where
other
he
one
did
that
something.
Was worse. It was Philly.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay?
Tampa, in the playoffs.
Tampa, in the playoff Tampa game. Yeah.
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 Was he talking about, maybe he was talking about the Tampa game.
Was he talking
game.
About the Tampa game or the
No,
the
he said the 49er game.
What did he do in the 49er
they
game?
They went for it on some fourth downs.
Oh, but maybe that, and they didn't convert him.
Right.
That could have been it.
New Falcons head coach Raheem Morris. If we had better quarterback play last year in Atlanta, I might not be standing here.
Okay. So he's going to – they're getting a quarterback. That's how that's
Desmond going. Ritter.
That's how that's going.
Desmond Ritter. Yikes.
That's been enough of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we were watching the highlight package they had. Of
yeah, that's like, right.
Like, this is very good.
Left a lot to be desired, to say the least.
That's a great – you don't hear it, guys – you don't hear that often where you're just straight clowning your guys.
The only time I've heard anybody – I mean, it's funny. That would be the second time in a week. Like, you guys hear Patino last week. He's a coach at St. John's. Like, he just buried
– St. John's here tomorrow night playing Butler.
Are they really?
Yes.
So, he just buried, like, everybody on his roster. Like, all the kids. They are all – they're terrible.
He's at St. John's?
Yeah. He's not fast. He can't jump. He can't move. All of this. So, I guess he felt so bad about it. He went out and – remember that white suit he wore at Louisville? He went in like the day before their game. His wife said, "You need to make up for this. You need to go get that suit." So he went and bought a white. He went and got a white suit, and he showed up in the white suit.
How does that make up for disparaging his team?
I think it just made light of the fact that he wore that white suit, and that was like infamous for what happened at Louisville at the end for him.
Okay, so he's taking
suit,
a little.
So he was taking it.
Okay,
a little bit. All right, Daniel Jeremiah coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for the first time ever. It's Friday, September 13th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrownsStadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
It's Billy Joel and Rod Stewart together for one night only. And now the man who was so gracious to join me in that live, we'll interview Daniel Jeremiah. Let's have a listen.
One of the great treats of the Combine, our opportunity to talk with Daniel Jeremiah, the lead draft analyst for NFL Network, and you can find him on Twitter at MoveTheSix, and you have the great at MoveTheSix pod as well, which I enjoy. It's all part of my learning as I make my trek over here to Indianapolis. Daniel, first of all, what's it like to be back at the Combine? It's a little different this year, but it's just such a massive event. It really has become a massive event.
I just crack up laughing, man. I remember this is like – I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, I remember way back when. And I remember coming here like in 2002 and walking through the old RCA Dome, and it was John Clayton, Peter King, and Chris Mortensen. That was it. That was it. And now you come here and this the massive amount of media that are here, the attention on the event. It's awesome, man. It's great for football. The NFL has been kind of just genius how they've been able to capture these months where there's no games going on, and yet the NFL is the buzz and the talk.
Absolutely. In the Combine, that's where you get to learn about a lot of these draft prospects. You've been deep in it. Overall, just kind of high-level impressions of this class, maybe where the strengths are, where the weaknesses are.
Yeah, I feel like it's all, you know, I won't say hero or zero, but it definitely feels like there's positions of real strength and then there's some shallow positions. So wide receivers, which we can have this conversation, you can record this and air it next year, is loaded. There's a zillion wideouts every year, so that's where you start. Offensive tackle, one of the better offensive tackle years that we've had. I think we could see a record. We could see like eight tackles go in the first round. It wouldn't shock me. You look at corner, has got some depth as well. And then, you know, we have the marquee quarterbacks. So that's where the, you know, the big sales pitch comes from. But on the leaner side of things, I don't think we see a running back go in the top 50 picks. I think we'll see one tight end go in the top 50 picks. Off the ball linebacker, you know, I think we'll see one go in the first round potentially. That's about it. So, and then even the depth of those positions isn't great. So it's a, you know, it's very need specific, which is going to inform what teams do in free agency in a big way.
For sure. And you just released your top 50 or your second version of your top 50 at NFL.com. And you mentioned the quarterback, Kalen Williams, number one. And I think a lot of the talk here this weekend is going to be about what are the Bears going to do? They've got the opportunity to draft Kalen Williams and kind of reset that salary clock for them at that position. They also had Justin Fields. So just from a college evaluation standpoint, I know we've seen Justin in the pros now. How did you compare those two coming out of college, Kalen and Justin Fields?
Well, look, Justin was a really good player coming out too, as you know. But, I mean, somebody – different styles. I would say that Caleb's more loose and kind of more free as he plays, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. Justin played a little bit more in structure coming out of Ohio State. Now, Justin was throwing to first-round receivers everywhere with a pretty nice group in front of him as well. So yeah, that's, to me, is the thing that I've tried to hammer home on Caleb in his defense is that everybody's got this in their head of, like, USC and this is – you know, Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll and national champs. Like, guys, that's like 20 years ago, okay? Yeah. Their defense was 121st in the country in scoring defense. Texas Tech with Patrick Mahomes was 128. So he played with a team more close to Pat Mahomes' Texas Tech teams than to Pete Carroll's USC team. So I just think people have a hard time seeing that. When you watch the tape and you watch rush three, drop eight, and they're getting clean run-throughs, and I'm like – I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's hard to deal with.
I mean, I played the position, but I didn't know what to do with that, and I don't think he did either at times.
Absolutely. And it's one of those kind of the narratives, oh, they didn't win a lot of games and guy's a talented kid.
They were one game away from going to the playoff last year. Yeah. And that's kind of what I jokingly have said. You know, I like Jaden Daniels a lot. Jaden Daniels is a really talented player.
Sure.
But, you know, if you say, okay, well, Jaden Daniels, you know, look at the success that he had, and he had a good offensive line, he has two top 15 pick wide receivers. And look at the year that he had. And I said, and people want to talk about Caleb and regressing. And I said, well, let's use your imagination. Try to imagine what Caleb would be like if he had just a mediocre offensive line, just a non-terrible offensive line, and one first-round wide receiver. Oh, yeah, he did the year before, and he won the Heisman Trophy, and what we're talking about him as some generational player. Yeah. So context matters.
No doubt. Generational player, perhaps Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out of Ohio State, who's your top non-quarterback on your board. I think he's number two overall. Yeah. Are you surprised he's not doing anything, not even running a 40, not just putting a 40 time out there? Are you surprised that he's decided, I'm going to do nothing, no pro day, nothing, the tape? And the tape does speak for itself, but to me it's just a little surprising.
Yeah, I mean, look, selfishly, when you're covering the event, you want to see the stars get out there and move around and do your thing. But, I mean, he was at the pro day at Ohio State last year with Stroud running routes and catching balls, and it was like almost as many people talking about him who wasn't even eligible for the draft than we're talking about CJ coming out of that day. So, I mean, he's got a body of work. We've seen it all. Is it, you know, I get it. I get it. I'm selfish, as everybody else would be, and I'd want to see him. But, I mean, I was explaining to somebody else. It'd be like somebody asking, you know, like a 15-year-old Mariah Carey to audition for the school play. Like,
right.
Really? I think I got the gig.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it, from a front office standpoint, because to me he feels like a guy who has no red flags, and not that this is a red flag at all, but just like – just. Grow the time out there, because the only thing that could ever potentially change is he goes out and runs like a 4.7, right?
Yeah.
Which he's not going to do. So it's almost, maybe it's because, you know, he's going to run what he's going to run, 4.3, four, low 4.4s, that he doesn't have to. I just thought it was surprising because it could start a trend, right?
No, I think so. It's just you're not going to have as many guys with his track record and his name, and all that, and the level of the competition he played with and played against. So it's kind of a one-off, kind of a unique scenario. But, I mean, I remember when everybody freaks out every year when, you know, we have guys that don't do stuff and Joe Burrow and, oh, what does this mean? Is he not competitive? And so I was like, no, he just threw for 5,000 yards and won the, you know, and won the national championship. I think he's comfortable and he's put enough out there. So I get it. I totally understand it, but I'm still selfish and wish he would do it.
Absolutely. How many quarterbacks go in the first round in your mind?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say we got the three locks. I think those go 1, 2, 3 when it's all said and done. I'm going to say we're going to get a fourth. And so, to me, it comes down to whether or not we get a fifth. So, officially 4.5. We're going to have 4.5 quarterbacks. That's it. It's four.
For your draft watch parties, that's the number. Throw it there. Over and under 4.5.
Five. four or five. When I wake up for breakfast, I said four. When I go to have dinner at night, I'll say five. Yeah.
After a nice glass of wine, sure. Yeah, why not? Relax. Of course. Absolutely. All right. Browns, again, no first round pick. Now, Andrew Berry, I think, has done a pretty good job getting first round production. MJ Emerson played great for us this year. DeJuan Jones certainly looks like, if he can stay healthy, could be a star.
Bigger. Yeah, I wish he was a little bigger.
I don't know if they make him any bigger than that. That is a massive young man. Who for the Browns second round? And maybe let's talk defensive tackles for a second. Is there anybody or any first-round talents you think positionally will maybe make their way into the second round?
You know, there's defensive tackle-wise, it's tricky because I think Murphy, to me, is the one guy that's going to go up there. Then you have Newton from Illinois. I think those guys are both gone. Sweat is, you know, the weight thing is an issue for teams. They're worried about that. He didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl. I think there's a good chance he's there when the Browns pick. If it just, to me, doesn't feel like a Jim Schwartz type defensive tackle. So the guy I would keep an eye on is Mason Smith at LSU. Mason Smith was the number one defensive lineman in the country coming out of high school. He's, of all these guys, are like 6'1", 6'2". He's going to be 6'5", plus, long arms. He's got kind of a Chris Jones frame to him. Had a great freshman year, tears his ACL beginning of the next year. Hasn't really been the same guy.
Yep.
But that's what the second round is. The second round is a little bit of a, hey, let's roll the dice. There's some upside here. And he has the highest ceiling of any defensive tackle in the draft.
All right, so write that name down, Browns fans. Let's talk receivers. You mentioned every year it's loaded. Day two, now you're getting guys that make immediate contributions in the National Football League. Who are some of your favorite day two wide receivers?
Well, there's a bunch of them. But to me, you know, Ladd McConkey from Georgia is really fun. Just, he knows how to separate, run routes, get open, and he does some things after the catch that kind of surprise you with his quickness and juice. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky is just a run after the catch machine.
Yep.
So if you're looking for that guy, you know, flip him get him a bubble screen, flip him a shovel, like just let him get the ball in his hands and go. He's a lot of fun there in that range. There's you know, between Troy Franklin at Oregon and then Adonai Mitchell from Texas, I think they're guys that maybe like top of two guys, but I have a feeling after they do what they're going to do out here that they probably aren't going to be there when Cleveland picks. They'll probably end up in round one.
Are those some of the take the top off the defense guys? That's what the Browns are always looking for, right, is that guy to really take. You got Amari, you got David Njoku, you got Elijah Moore, but we need that stretcher. Those are some of the stretchers.
Those are big-time stretchers. But, you know, Xavier Worthy's another one. He could be there from Texas because he's a little bit leaner, a little bit lighter. He's going to blaze out here. He might run under 4.3. So, wide receivers, I mean, look, if you're Cleveland and you want a wide receiver, it is your year. You're going to get one.
All right. Your other hat you wear is the color analyst on the Chargers radio network. How do you compare your draft prep to game prep in your role as the analyst?
Well, it's fun. To me, I kind of look at it as like Halloween is my marker.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm pretty much all in on the NFL season, doing the stuff we're doing at NFL Network, as well as, you know, calling the Charger games. And then Halloween comes, and I go, okay, we've got a pretty nice chunk of college games in the system now.
Yep.
I better get started. Yeah. So that's when I really start to crank on the college guys, and then really it's a sprint, you know, from there to get to here.
Yeah, no doubt. Jim Harbaugh coming to town there with the Chargers. How about that?
So there's billboards up all over L.A. I mean, it is Jim Harbaugh is everywhere. It's created a lot of buzz and a lot of excitement. And it wasn't even just – I mean, obviously his presence is a big deal. But the staff that he was able to build and bring in there is a really good staff, well-respected. And it seems to be a lot of energy and a lot of passion. Look, the Chargers have won. I've been there calling games for 6 years, won a lot of off seasons. You know, and now it's got to translate and get into the regular season. So that's the hope.
It always helps when you have Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he's pretty good. You know, I'm curious to see how they, you know, they've got big decisions to make. They've got four big contracts. They're over the cap, so they got to figure out, you know, with Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Bosa, and Mac, they're going to have to do some gymnastics there.
They have a nice end. You've got all the wide receivers in case they need to do some succession planning there.
Yeah, there you go. It's all right there. It's all right in front of you.
Daniel, always a pleasure. Your coverage starts, I know, later on this week on the NFL Network. Follow him at Move the Sticks on Twitter. The great Daniel Jeremiah. Thanks for the time, as always.
Always enjoy it. Thanks.
All right, great stuff there with Z and Daniel Jeremiah, his NFL Network buddy, Mr. Andrew Siciliano. One of the voices of the Browns this past season, had some fantastic calls. He will sit with us here in Indy.
Baby.
Coming up next, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
and be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the National Football League. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns. Being in Next Gen STM, your best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Broadcasting live over in Indianapolis, NFL Scouting Combine. Andrew Siciliano joining us, NFL Network.
Yes,
3-0.
Good afternoon.
3-0, undefeated.
3-0, on the mic this year. Very, very good.
Although, like I pointed out earlier, 4-1 when it comes to attended games. So I was there for the Rams game, which was an L.
Could we present it in a way where 3-0 while working for the Browns, 1-1 as a fan?
1-1 as a fan, right? And plus, you could also ask, Bo, like, why are you being negative? Like, accept the 3-0.
Accept the wins.
Right. Why,
bathe in the glory.
Why do you try to turn it to the negative?
Soak it in.
Or the pragmatic.
Let it wash over you. Let the glory.
For the record, I had zero to do with the product on the field.
Well, you had a hell of a call.
There are a lot
buddy.
Of people who are superstitious.
You got that Niners logo
it.
Up right there with yep. John Lynch on the
there
screen. That's a yeah. hell of a call that you had at the end there.
Can Brandon Staley run a 4-3, John Lynch? That would be my question.
He looks like he's saying yes, he can. Okay.
That's what it looks like to me.
Absolutely. We were talking this morning. We talked last night at dinner a little bit. And you said you were coming. You had like a tradition. You and a buddy of yours who works in another organization. You go. This is what you do. You go. It's a small world, this NFL world, man.
Yeah,
it really is.
And everyone is here. This is the convention of all conventions.
Yes.
Like I was just talking to a GM about 20 minutes ago about how the Senior Bowl is changing, right? Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people. Not a lot. I mean, you don't see as many coaches and GMs still going to that. And this, you and I spoke earlier, this is kind of changing a bit, right? I think there are maybe 6 head coaches that aren't here, but still – the overwhelming majority of the football world is here. And it's not just, coach and GM. It's entire staffs. Mm-hmm. Every agent is here. On the broadcasting side, not only talent from all over, but network executives, everybody is here.
And it follows a very familiar pattern. You know where everybody's going to be every single night. So you will run into them.
There are a couple of hotel lobbies, a couple of bars that will never change. The key, however, is finding the out-of-the-way spot, because there are some coaches and GMs that are like, I don't want to deal with the mosh pit that I know will be that lobby or that bar or that restaurant. And the fun in Indianapolis is finding restaurants away from this walkable downtown. There's some really good places here.
Sure.
I generally don't make the effort, but sometimes you can, and then you'll always hear the story. Ryan Poles sat down to trade the number one overall pick when he and Scott Fitterer, you know, drove 20 miles away from town to eat at an Aubon Pan or something at
They're
7 a.m.
They're in Carmel. Having
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Carmel. Yeah. Is the Jerry bus here? That was always confirmed. Okay.
It is here.
Right. Absolutely. I've told my interns that's your only mission this week.
It is
get
here.
On the bus. Get on Every time it. I see that thing, I just think, nothing to me says NFL combine, all of it.
The bus.
And
the bus when you see
by
that.
The way, can they collectively can only stay at certain hotels, they mean the Cowboys as a team, because there is only sufficient bus parking at certain hotels.
That's a good note. Have you been on the bus?
I have been on the bus.
Yeah. That's two of them.
Two there of the go. Four have.
Two of them. We know you have, Gibbe.
It's one of his great accomplishments.
It is one, and he's got many.
It's a hell of an accomplishment.
It is. It is.
To sidle right up in there.
Do you think, and this is, maybe it's my mind because we don't have a first-round pick, so I'm not as focused on the draft as normal,
but
it's got to be.
I think it is your mind, yeah.
It feels to me like there is more business to be done at the combine now around free agency than necessarily the draft.
So
maybe it's not my mind.
There is
lethal combination.
I wouldn't call it tampering per se.
Discussions.
But what happens is, let's take Andrew Berry, for example.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it would be Za'Darius Smith or whether it would be Nick Chubb or whomever, you meet with the agents that you need to meet with this week to at least feel each other out to try to figure out how you're going to approach next week or 2 weeks from now on the 11th. And so that business all gets done this week. You know, player will see it broken all week. Hey, player X is going to get cut. Mm-hmm. That's because the GM – you know, finally sits down to the owner and goes, hey, we've been talking about it. We think we're going to move on. Or, hey, you can go explore a trade. I don't know. I mean, yes, are there conversations? Like, my guy is going to leave this team and you're already hammering out a new deal? that technically would be tampering, but that doesn't mean, you know, conversations.
Theoreticals bandied about.
Theoreticals can't be bandied about.
That's right.
Hypothetically.
What do you make about – so many teams have so many different – you mentioned Andrew Berry, who so often – like we, our fans sometimes, and even will give him a bad time, him and Kevin, there's not a – they don't say a whole lot in their availabilities. We had Ryan Poles was up, and he was talking about how they haven't made a decision on Fields, and we're going, come on. Nonsense. Yeah. Of course a decision's been made on Fields. It's just a matter of landing spot. And then conversely, you had George Payton with Denver, who was like, yeah, we're going to meet with J.J. McCarthy tonight.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, just the incredible difference in transparency that GMs have publicly right now. It's I've never seen it so such a big difference.
I would say there is a big spectrum here. You can also look at each situation and go, yeah, well, no bleep. Of course you're going to meet with those quarterbacks here. Sean Payton, so I was standing over there. Sean Payton was up right before George Payton. George Payton was sitting there watching Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And Sean gets up there. First question, what's the deal with Russell? Hey, it's going to happen quickly next week or within the next 2 weeks. It'll happen before the start of free agency. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, like, he just laid it out there.
Right.
You don't often hear we're going to meet with player X.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you flip it around and you always see this at the Senior Bowl, oh, I heard you would see Team X seen meeting with this player in Mobile.
Yeah.
Yes, it is their job to meet with every player in Mobile. That is why your staff is there.
Yeah.
Right? And so that is why your staff is here. No one – I mean, it's no secret the Broncos are in the quarterback business. Yeah. They will meet with J.J. McCarthy.
People think of this as a great information gathering on draft prospects, but it's actually an information gathering on the league.
Everything.
On everything.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's the value in it. I think that's why Indy is so good for it, because, to your point, it is condensed. Now, if you want to go 20 minutes away to an Obon Pen and be in incognito,
sure,
you can. But
you can, and trades like that are done all the time. I guarantee you that's happening right now, whether it's – I mean, Tom Telesco just said they're not going to trade Davante Adams, but, you know, what did Brandon Bean say about Steph Diggs? I didn't hear his session. I guarantee if someone calls up with a Steph Diggs offer, they'll listen
for
Justin
sure.
Fields. And that was the one thing that I didn't hear. That was one frustrating thing, because I don't know where Ryan did his. He didn't do it in this main center. The Bears had him somewhere else, but I listened to it. No one asked Ryan point blank, do you have an offer yet for Justin?
No, they asked the other. They said, do you have an offer for the one?
Right.
But not for Fields, which I thought was interesting.
Which was
that
odd.
Was asked, and the other one wasn't.
And the thing, too, and everyone, I think we all agree, take Caleb. I mean, reset
start
the clock. That's
the
way you have to do business here. But, you know, there are other options. You know, let's play the thought experiment. It's not a binary decision here. You could trade both Justin Fields and number one, okay? You could trade Justin Fields and, what, maybe get a 2 and a 5 or whatever it's going to be, right? A 3 that goes to a 2 and something else, whatever. And you can trade 1 down to 2. Like, if you're happy with Drake May, Washington will gladly move up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really want to hit a home run, you really want to think outside the box, trade 1 and Justin Fields if you think Drake May can be that guy. Or Jaden Daniels can be that guy.
Yeah.
Personally,
it's in the eye of the beholder.
I take Caleb. That's just me.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, that's what's fun about it. And I think that's what we were saying. You're waiting for that Chicago domino to drop, and then really it kind of opens everything up.
Right.
That kind of is the real table setter for everything, and it changes where Fields goes, changes obviously then the quarterback landscape. And, you know, we heard Raheem Morris earlier today say that if we had good quarterback play, we would have been really good.
I was standing right there when he said it.
Which was as
He said, if we had better quarterback play last year,
he wouldn't be there.
I wouldn't be standing here.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's absolutely right.
Sure.
Right.
And everyone said, well, he's throwing Desmond Ridder under the bus. It's already been done. Like, I had Arthur Blank on Friday of Super Bowl week.
Right. Yeah.
And we were talking about Belichick. And I said, well, the thing everyone said with Belichick was, all right, if you hire Belichick, well, who's the quarterback going to be? And he picked up my sentence and ran with it and went, well, it's the same thing now. Like, who's the quarterback going to be?
Yeah.
It was the owner saying it. So Desmond Ridder knows
not
full well that
they
are in the business right now of replacing him.
I missed that when you talked with Arthur on the week of the Super Bowl. Are you surprised that Belichick got out of this cycle? There weren't a lot of fits for him.
I mean,
that was the one, right?
And the thing that Arthur said, and Raheem, actually Terry Fontenot said the same thing today, and that was Bill Belichick was going to be collaborative and everything was going to be okay. We just chose to go with Raheem. Now, I'm a huge Raheem fan. Worked with him the last couple of years in L.A. with the Rams. Like, if Raheem gets in the room, you understand why this guy needs to be a head coach again. It's still Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, people have their theories about, you know, too much power for Rich McKay or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think it is fair to ask. Like, it's the old Parcells thing, right? You know, buy the cook the meal, buy the groceries, is who would be buying the groceries for Bill. Mm-hmm.
You just wonder if somebody's setting up to do what Doc Rivers did, just pull him in, fire somebody midseason, and bring in Belichick.
I always thought Jerry. I mean,
of course.
Like Dallas. Like, if it went off, like if it started poorly with McCarthy, could he paratroop into that? I don't know.
I can't see it happening in season. Now,
he's running. Father Time, though, undefeated.
No.
He's got to. It's got to go. If he's going to go,
it would be next year. I don't think it would be in season. The fascinating thing for me is, as you guys said, saw John Lynch up there. You know, do you call Belichick for that job? I don't think that's going to happen. Or do you call Pete Carroll, Niner assistant 8 decades ago, for that job? That would have been really interesting if it weren't, you know, Nick Sorensen or Brandon Staley or somebody else. Do you want Belichick in your building as a coordinator? Are you comfortable enough as
would
a head
he
coach?
Do that?
I don't know that he would do it. But
Kyle and Belichick united.
Kyle would have.
I mean, look, they made the Garoppolo trade. It's not as if they don't have each other's phone numbers. I think they'd be okay. But as a head coach, do you want that?
That would be interesting. I think Kyle would be very comfortable in his own.
He could handle
skin.
It, but that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And by the way, you mentioned the Bears thing and Fields. I'm sorry, Paul said today that he wants to do right by Justin if they decide to move on, and likely that is before free agency. Last year, the deal with the Panthers was made, I think, the Thursday or Friday before free agency was to begin the following Monday. So
that's your window.
It's coming soon.
To me, when I hear him say that, based on everything we've heard Justin say, he wants to go to Atlanta, it feels like.
He's from Atlanta?
Right.
I thought he pushed back on that last week a little bit, basically saying, everyone and your uncle is going to have your hands out for a ticket. I mean, there are a lot of players, you know this, that don't want to play near home because there are too many distractions.
I just like the idea of him with Bijan and Drake.
He was very, very positive, obviously, about the roster. The other thing, you got to remember, it didn't end the best for him at UGA.
Mm-mm.
So there's that part, too. Maybe he just – but to me, it's that's the spot. I mean, that's the best spot
and
for him.
And the other question that no one asked polls today, and I think this is the one that everybody is missing. And that is, let's say you decide to keep Justin, and there is a very loud faction of the Bears fan base that wants Justin Fields. Are you ready to extend him right now? Because you're heading into year 4, mm-hmm. right? Burrow and Herbert. I mean, you could do what the Dolphins did and punt for a year, potentially, mm-hmm. like what they're doing with Tua here. But if you trade away number 1, you are not just committing to Justin Fields. You're committing to Justin Fields.
100%.
So are you ready to write a check right now that begins at Daniel Jones? Like, are you going to pay him $40 a year tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you?
Probably
because that's
not
what you have to do.
That's why they can't
keep
him.
That's why they
need to pay him.
Because they don't have the answer to that.
Okay,
but we don't have – the other thing, Andrew, think about this. There aren't – guys, what other circumstances do we have like this where you have a guy who is immensely popular in the fan base, immensely popular in the fan base, who's flashed, but you're not sure – and then you have a kid who, like Daniel Jeremiah, thinks is generational.
Yep.
Other people's do too. It's a heck of a –
you got to go
it's the right spot, but like at the same time, like we know owners and like you – public opinion weighs. I mean, they're going to do it, but it's just – this is a unique spot. We haven't seen teams in this position drafting number 1 where they had a beloved guy who they just drafted a couple of years ago as the
young
savior.
Right.
Who's young.
Your beloved guy in year 8.
Right. Not year going into your 4.
I mean, it's not apples to apples because he wasn't good, but it's like when they drafted Josh Rosen, and then we came here, and the next year they had number 1, right?
Right.
And they went, they're like, yeah, we're done with this. But Rosen never showed anything that
Fields. And he wasn't beloved, I don't know, by the fan base either.
Also, no. But
he was with us for a
cup
hot second.
Was, yeah.
He was.
Keep an eye on Josh Rosen.
Saw him ride his bike through Manhattan Beach a couple of weeks ago as well. true story. He right down the street. But the thing with them as well is, like, that he should have known the second, like, you could have connected the dots.
Cliff.
Yeah. Who's Cliff Kingsbury's agent?
Yeah.
Eric Burkhardt. Okay. They were college roommates.
Yeah.
Who's Kyler's agent? Eric Burkhardt. Like, the idea, yeah. like, you could have connected all those dots. It was never a surprise.
No.
Like, from the second those hires were made.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, be out in the mix.
Be in the mix. Going to be fun. Good talking to you, buddy.
It's likewise. The best.
We didn't even talk about the Browns.
Yeah.
Eh. We're waiting.
What do you – okay, hold on. We'll give them one.
What?
What do you want to – where do you want to see the Browns go in the second round? Or just kind of generally speaking, attacking free agency second round. Oh, just
you,
roster.
You think they're keeping that pick?
I'd like to.
I would like to as well.
That's just because he does a show on Thursday and Friday, the draft. If we don't pick until Saturday.
Yeah, no, I've been there. I get it. No,
he's on a treadmill.
We've waited. The MJ Emerson year, we did not pick until the third round. We traded out of the second.
Treadmill.
Yeah.
That thing worked out okay.
Exactly.
I think, and I'm sure Daniel Jeremiah told you the same thing, it is a very deep class of wide receiver. There will be a very good wide receiver there at two. But, you know, we haven't even gotten to free agency yet, so who knows what holes yeah.
That's
the
hard
part
with a second rounder.
Yeah. I mean, if there has to come a time, and I know obviously JOK was taken, where you address that position with something other than veteran stopgaps. I mean, there are some decent off-ball linebackers in the second round, but positional value, the way this organization thinks, I can't imagine that they would do that.
Yeah. I feel like they're hoping for a defensive tackle that would excite them to be there.
Yeah, or an edge guy that would excite you. The premium positions will dominate the first round. If you put a center or two in, like put Oregon, put JPJ in there, maybe Zach Frazier from West Virginia, those are the only two guys I think that have a possibility of cracking the first round aside from the premium tackle. Wide receiver, edge, corner, quarterback
yeah.
positions. Those five positions will dominate
yeah.
night number one.
Oh, yeah. Good we saw it last year there were only, what, two? And I think they were
yeah.
both the Lions.
Yeah. Right.
Running back and a linebacker.
Exactly.
3-0.
Undefeated.
3-0.
Never lost. He's like LeVar.
All retire.
No, far from it. So much more to come. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Well, at long last, your long week at the Combine is over.
I'm doing your favorite thing to do in Indy.
Leaving.
He's
real
gone.
Rough.
The kid
real
is
rough
gone.
Week for
the kid is gone.
I love you guys.
Yeah, we love you too. I will miss you. We'll hear your voice.
You will.
Over the next couple of days,
yeah.
We'll hear
interspersed.
But yeah, so drive safe.
Thank you.
Avoid the various potholes and other things and the troopers.
Yeah.
There was a we could not reach a consensus. There was a
no.
lot of emphatic answers on how fast you could go and get away with it. There's a lot of 8, you're great, 9, you're mine.
That seems outrageous. That
then
seems
there was
arbitrary.
A 9, you're great, 10, you're. I mean, there was.
To me, 10 is a pretty good point of demarcation. Like 8 and 9, what's the difference?
Well, I would. Yes. Yeah, I don't know.
The reality is, what's the difference between 9 and 10? Nothing. But at least 10 feels like that changes
to
the first number.
To me, if I'm under 100,
it should
what's
be
the
just
harm?
Fine.
Who gets hurt?
Speed limits really should be 85, and then they should be like hard limits.
Yeah.
Or even
a really
80.
Hard, a hard 80.
80. But hard 80, like if you're 81, no.
Done.
This is it. This is when
it. That's
it. We meet.
Yeah. Yeah. What's really frustrating is when you go from a 70 to a 65 to a 55. Like the last 10 miles in here was 55, and I'm going, what are we doing? What are we
cars
doing?
Cars aren't even made to go that.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow here at the Combine. The next level is coming up next. Thanks for listening, everybody. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.